Driving plays a big part in driving the local economy. It helps us all get where we're going and creates good jobs close to home. At Cenovus Energy, our refineries in Toledo and Lima are a reliable domestic source of gasoline, diesel, and jet fuel. Plus, more than 2,300 employees and contractors work for us here in Ohio. See how we're helping local communities move forward at cenovus.com.
Hey y'all, this is Porch Talk. My name is Bo Adams, and I am going to play a song for you that I'm in the process of writing, so some of it might change. Welcome you to Porch Talk.
We're at Lost Crow Records.
Also known as The Island, also known as Lost or Never Island.
Never Island. And you heard Bo Adams open it up. Bo, what's up with you?
Man, just trying to put one foot in front of the other, work as much as I can, and get to Memphis as soon as I can.
There you go. And I want to introduce the rest of the cast. Daniel Sharp played lead.
I'm Daniel Sharp. We're broadcasting from the island. Last time we did a podcast here was a little over a year ago. Porch Talk, right over across the... We're in the big house now, though. The big house on the island.
There you go. And Ben Hardy on those drums.
If you don't be careful, Daniel will talk for about 45 minutes straight.
I know.
Or I will say nothing for 45 minutes and make faces.
All right, guys. Just to open this up, this episode, at least the beginning of it, it's about Bo. So, Bo, who are you? Where are you from?
Originally from Oxford, Mississippi, just up the road north of here, and grew up on the panhandle of Florida. I have lived all over the country, and at this point have moved around a bunch in the last couple years, and had some great experiences, had some bad experiences, and I like to write about it when I can. And I've got a lot of pain in my music right now, but I'm coming out of that, and I'm slowly working myself back into who I know I can be.
Right on, brother. And so, originally from Oxford, how did Ben and Daniel get into your life?
Daniel and I met in Oxford and started playing music together, what, like 25 years ago-ish?
Let's call it 18, just for this. And I don't want to do the math, but I will. Yeah. Real quick, let's see.
Were you working?
Okay, you were working at Barnes. You were pretty close. You were real close to that. I'm not going to call it, but it's not 25, but it was like 24.5.
All right.
But, yeah, I was working at Blind Jim's, which was a restaurant bar on the square. We had one of a couple of, verandas out there overlooking the square. And I also played music there. And Bo and I gravitated together because he played music around town. And the exacting moment of our meeting, what was that?
I think it was like you might have actually waited on my table and we just got to talking. It was like, hey, I play music, you play music.
That's right.
We should get together.
That's right. I waited on a table full of you guys and girls. And you and I started talking.
I think I was in there with my roommate and some of the boys.
Yeah, and I was doing a show there or something, and we just talked about something, and I said, well, you ought to come play.
Yeah.
And maybe we practiced, maybe we didn't. But the PA was there. We did a Blind Jim show. Eric Deaton played with us on a couple of occasions, played bass. And he also worked at the bar. You know, that's how I knew him. He was working in the back some.
Eric. I don't remember that. I don't remember him playing bass with us.
Well,
I'm sure he did.
It's been 25 years.
It sticks out in my mind because there's a bunch of... I always carried my Pentax K1000 around. That's a 35mm Vietnam-era camera. And I have a whole bunch of... And you've seen a couple of those photographs last time you were around. I have a bunch of photographs of all of the iterations of Blind Jim's and all the musicians. So we can go back and mine that.
I'd love to see that.
But, I carried a backpack and I had that Pentax in it. And I didn't have a flash, strangely enough, so because I was not advanced enough to know how to use a flash, or maybe I didn't like them.
Somebody's here.
So I would use natural light and open the f-stop all the way up, and there's some groovy, because there's plenty of light there. Really cool pictures. Blind Jim's, yes. So that's how we started playing at Blind Jim's, and then we started writing songs together, and just a fast friendship. And Moon Pie Curtis was right in the middle of that mix with us at that time. He also played at Blind Jim's with us. You know, we didn't know it, but we kind of had a posse, you know?
You find it strange that it was called Blind Jim's?
No. I mean, there's a whole historical connection to the reason.
Enlighten us.
It was called Blind Gems.
Pause so I can look this up real fast. So strike this from the record. I can't think of his.
Yeah. Well, there was a allegedly before my time a character that lived in Oxford who went to all the football games. And I believe he was called Blind Jim, and he was considered really good luck for the Rebels.
I'm trying to think of his last name, but yeah, he was...
That's the story behind it. There was a real Blind Jim. I don't know if he was... Why they called him that, you know.
Well,
but he was good luck for the Rebels, and he was a well-known and respected and had a lot of friends in town, and the name was taken from that. Right?
Yeah. Went blind painting the Tallahatchie Bridge, was in the paint or whatever, tar or lead or something, I don't know, but that's how he went blind. But then, yeah, he was at every Ole Miss football game, and he was famous for saying, "I've never seen the Rebels lose."
That is right. That is a story.
And he wasn't lying.
That's right. And this was printed on the menus, too, by the way, at Blind Gems. You can read the story.
Yeah.
It was just I recollected my part of it.
Great character, and I think a great homage to him to name that bar Blind Gems.
And there were some amazing musicians that played there. Everybody played there.
Yeah,
Junior Kimbrough, Earl Burnside. They all signed the wall. There was a musician's wall. You got to sign it, and you know if you played there. So I got to sign it. You know, Bo signed it. And when they restored and renovated the place, they put some like sheetrock over that wall, and so it could be pulled. It could be removed, and you could see all those signatures later on if somebody ever wanted to do that. They didn't paint over it; they just put something over it that could come down.
Kind of lacquered it.
It was like an external sheet of sheetrock or something that was placed over it in a way that didn't mess with the back of the wall. You know,
yeah,
the front of the wall.
Yeah. Matter of fact, if you go in there now, it's physically smaller. The interior space is physically smaller because of the faux wall that they put up to preserve. Because they had a mural on the wall, a big painting of Blind Jim, and it was just a fun place. And they were really cool about letting us play because, we weren't that good. We were good, you know what I mean? But,
Would you say that was your start, like with like music, at least original, or like what did that look like at that time for you?
I had played. I had played some with some friends, and we, you know, had a band, and my mom let us turn the guest bedroom into a band room. And we put, you know, foam egg crate on the walls, and you know, Grateful Dead posters and stuff. But yeah, this was really where I cut my teeth on playing gigs.
Okay.
Yeah.
And that started when you moved to Oxford for college, or you were kind of already there?
No. I mean, I went to Oxford specifically for college. And,
I want to give Ben Hardy a little space here. How did Ben Hardy get into this picture? How did y'all meet?
I knew of his music before I met him when I was started playing music with Daniel and David. They let me hear a recording. I think they called it the Gray Papes.
The Gray Papes.
Yeah, the Gray Papes. Yeah. And so that's the first time I heard him. And so I think it was here at Daniel's farm where I first met you.
I think that's right, yeah. Was it for one of those porch festival things at Daniel's?
I think so, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, Farm Fest.
Farm Fest, yeah.
Yeah.
Farm Fest. Talked about it this morning on Jeff's show. Yeah, I did a little thing with Jeff Stewart this morning on the local radio, and we talked about Farm Fest for the first time. Because Zachariah Lloyd, had played Farm Fest. And, you know, Zach just played up here last weekend. So, check out his new album, by the way. Zachariah Lloyd's got a new album he dropped.
Is he going to make it this weekend?
He's playing in a different, like a songwriter competition this weekend near here, and he says if he gets out in time, he's going to check in with us. So, we'll see. You know,
yeah.
Held on to it or nothing.
And just, I guess, to bring it all together for all three of y'all, just with Farm Fest, was that something that happened after y'all's time in Oxford?
Oh, yes.
Yeah, much.
And not to get too far ahead in the timeline.
But that's fine.
You step forward in the timeline quite a bit, and I was here, living here full time, and I was really needing an outlet for music and you know, living in the middle of, well, center of Mississippi, you know, you're not living in a place that has lots of venues. There's a few, but so, you know, my idea was to gravitate all the musicians I could to my farm at least once a year.
Kind of similar to my thing?
Usually, exactly like that, like Porch Fest, Farm Fest, same thing. So around my birthday, I would have a birthday party. And but the way Farm Fest started was I had this red heeler named Blue. And I took off and went canoeing from Minnesota into Canada. I think I might have talked about that. And Blue passed away while I was gone, and it really broke my heart. So I threw a memorial service for him one night here and had a campfire, invited a whole bunch of people and a bunch of musicians, and this was a long time ago. And that was the and someone at that very show, an archaeologist was here, and from Bull Slough, Alabama, and he coined it Farm Fest that first night. And so yearly then I would start having these things, and they developed into finally, like, one of them we had acts from 10:30 in the morning until 2 o'clock, 3 o'clock in the morning, like a dozen bands and acts. You know, I could just keep naming them. But and one summer I was so bored, I don't know if you don't call it bored, I had plenty to do, but we had a Farm Fest every single month. Now the attendance dwindled on those to, you know, from 150 down to, you know, 40 or something, when 30 once you did it every single month. But and I would have a few bands here every month. Mm-hmm. And I built a separate stage for that at that time on a flatbed trailer. So Farm Fest went for many years, and at one point we had tents all over the place, people camping out. We had
What I remember.
People cooking out, you know. It was, and in the meantime, I've been going to festivals like Bonnaroo and stuff, and I've got all these big ideas, and I microscaped them here and turned them into small ideas. And the last one I had, like, it really looked like a festival, you know, one of the bigger ones, because I had it. I'd worked so hard on the landscaping and everything. And we had, like, security and the whole deal. And, you know, and we're charging.
Yeah, the big dude with the AK-47? Yeah,
it was a shotgun. It was a combat shotgun that he had walking around with. He was our security guy. You know, we didn't really need it.
Jason Smith is his name.
Yeah. Jason Smith?
Yeah.
But it was okay with me in case he didn't need it. You know, whatever. Might have been zombies coming that night.
And there's a very nice photograph of that. Particular weekend.
Chad took that. Exactly. You took the wet plate. Chad.
Oh, really? By the way, does that still exist?
Another musician has shown up here, and I'm going to just tell you. I talk about him on the podcast all the time. Chad Smith is a man of many talents, but he took a wet plate of that whole Farm Fest before the sunset, including the shotgun and the whole. It's a wonderful picture. Mitch Presley's in that picture. It's like, I don't know, 20, 30 people before the sunset.
Yeah.
Wow.
It's a great. I got it around here somewhere.
I'm about to ask you where it was.
Yeah, I think it's over in the studio, up on top of the cabinet. I'm relatively sure that's where it's at. And I'm glad you mentioned it, because there's a lot of blank walls around here in this big room. I'm going to put some cool stuff up, including that.
And just to put it somewhat more of on a linear scale, back to Bo just for a second, is you say you grew up in Panama City area?
No, I grew up in Destin. I live in Panama City Beach right now, but this is where God put me for a minute, you know.
Yeah, and so what led you to Oxford, Mississippi?
I'm originally from Oxford.
Okay, so you always knew you was going to be a rebel.
Yeah, pretty much. You know, I thought about going somewhere else, but it was just far enough away from Florida where my parents weren't going to come up and surprise me, and it was still home. My grandparents were still alive, and I have cousins that live in Oxford, and it was home, but it was far enough away to be college too, you know.
And so, what were you into at that time? What did you want to study? Did you have any idea?
Well, I was a philosophy major, and
it's a good study for a musician.
Yeah, yeah, for or
English,
you know,
or philosophy.
Like, you know, I don't know. It's like, what are you going to do with philosophy? I don't know. I guess I'm going to think. No, I mean, the only thing I could have done with that was teach, but
you could be a bouncer.
I was at Proud Larry's a few times.
There you go. You know, Patrick Swayze, Roadhouse, philosophy. That was what his degree from NYU was in, you know, in that movie. You could be a bouncer with a degree in philosophy.
There you
right
go.
Now, kids, that's what you need to do.
I would recommend kids not going to college, but neither here or there. Well, but, I mean, just back to you.
Yeah, well, it's interesting. I mean, there are kids out there that are, you know, starting careers in trades that that are, you know, people, I don't know, I'm off track here, but yeah, Destin and, you know, went to, gosh, I did my freshman year at Ole Miss, and then I had this existential crisis and dropped out of college for a minute and went and lived in Los Angeles, and I had a cousin that lived out there and was out there for a year, came back to Ole Miss, you know, came back to Ole Miss twice.
At what time in your life did music come into your life? Was music already a part of it before you had went to Oxford?
Absolutely. I started playing when I was 15. And
was this like church, or how did it start for you?
No, well, really what started it was, what jump started it was, I was playing football my sophomore year in college and ripped half my hamstring out of the back of my left knee.
You had a little free time on your hand.
I had a little free time. And, so I started, playing, and I took some lessons, and,
what was the original, like, was it mom and dad playing records or grandparents or like? How did you figure out you wanted music?
I was blessed with parents that listened to the Beatles and, you know, James Taylor and, you know, Simon and Garfunkel. And, you know, I like to tell people that I learned to sing. Simon and Garfunkel taught me to sing harmony. That's where, you know, driving around all over the place, Simon and Garfunkel, I try and put a third part in there. And, you know, Art Garfunkel he's jumping between the second and the third parts the whole time. So it's like, you know, you really got to figure out, you know, where you're going or what he's doing so you can work around that. And it's really served me well because I can sing harmony just about anything now, and I'm good on the spot.
Wow. And so any practice with, like, sight singing or anything like that, you just learned straight from that Garfunkel record?
No, it was just, you know, any Simon and Garfunkel, but it's just more than that. I sing harmony. If I'm in the car driving around, I just sing harmony with whatever's going.
Music's a big part of your car ride?
Oh, absolutely.
That's really interesting. I know a lot of people, as they get more involved with music, the less they listen to it in the car, they'll drive in silence.
And that happens sometimes. I'll notice that, like, I've forgotten to turn some music on. I'm just thinking about stuff. And so, actually, in the last year, I've made more of an effort to actually put some music on, and it's really strange. I've got this like weird, like small anxiety, like what should I put on? You know, like,
that's real.
Yeah, and you know, so I'll you know, I kind of will pick a song that I like and let Spotify go down the rabbit hole, and I usually end up with some stuff that I want to listen to, and end up with, you know, sometimes hearing some stuff that's new, and or maybe not new, but fresh to me.
Yeah.
And, you know, and it's nice, and it's, you know, I mean, I remember, you know, thinking the first time I was like, why am I not listening to music? You know, why am I just riding around in silence? You know, I mean, I'm just, you know, either I'm ruminating about something, or, you know, at least in the last couple of years, you know, trying to rebuild my life. I mean, it's just so, like, why am I not listening to music? It's so soothing. It's so nice. And, you know, it's funny, relearning my songs that I'm going to play tomorrow. I kind of got sick of myself in the car today.
You just listened to yourself on the way up?
Yeah, I was practicing, you know, trying to, you know, put the lyrics back into the map in my mind.
So, just to open it up for the rest of y'all, it's like, what about, like, your car habits? Ben, do, I mean, when you're driving headed to work or just out on an errand, like, is music a big deal in your car ride as you've gotten older? Or, like, what does that look like for you as you were a musician?
Yeah, I only have maybe a 2-minute drive to work. And usually I listen to our local radio station, but the local...
Since I was on this morning, he did something else.
Yeah, I didn't hear it this morning. But for the most part,
you talked about too. I'm glad you didn't hear it. We talked about you the whole time.
I don't doubt that at all.
And I'm not kidding.
No, I almost always have to have something in my head, whether it's a music, audio book, or a podcast. I don't listen to your FM radio much because I don't like anything typically on the radio, or if I heard, or I've heard them 1,000 times, so I'm always searching for something to listen to, something to keep my mind occupied.
Yeah, I remember I used to drive from Kennedy to Starkville, and it's an hour commute, and I got burnt out, and I had a friend of mine who was a DJ on the local radio station, so, and he used to be on the radio during that drive, and then he was taken off, and the music changed because he wasn't the one putting it on, and I was no longer interested. And then I kind of got into podcasting, and even then I was like, sometimes I didn't want to just hear people just talk about whatever. And then when I was trying to dial in music, it's kind of like what you were talking about, Bo. It's like, well, I really don't know where to go, but I have a whole hour.
Right.
So surely I could find something. Daniel, in your driving experience, I mean, what do you enjoy?
Well, it's sort of out of you know, necessity. You know, my 07 gray V8 5-speed Mustang with a hard top has...
Might like to hear it.
Yeah, it has a radio in it that I can't figure out how to make the Bluetooth work. So I just bought a new Boss radio system and all the trimmings to go in the car that will work with all of that media so I can listen to podcasts or any music I want. But currently, I'm at the mercy of listening to what's on the radio. So I will listen to public radio sometimes, depending on the show, and, you know, especially maybe some of the news or something. But I will inevitably flip around and I will find an R&B or a rap station. And I will almost exclusively listen to that while I'm in that car until I get my new radio in. And I fully intend on letting the first solid week of the whole car, I want to let it soak in there, and I'm going to listen to R.L. Burnside in that car for a whole week.
You know, that's really wild, and I don't know if any of y'all can relate, but like when I'm riding in the car, I get on a rap kick or whatever kind of genre of music it may be. Typically, it's a genre of music I don't play or I know I will never participate in, but I really just love having it in my ear, right? Yeah. It's like, it's almost like an escape, mm-hmm. You know? Like, I know I'll never be like Wu-Tang Clan or whatever, right? But, man, it feels good to ride around with it.
Oh, no doubt.
I like the honesty in it and some of the songs and the authenticity that comes out, you know, in R&B and rap and hip-hop and stuff like that. Like, you know, there's a lot of chance-taking going on, you know?
Absolutely.
Especially lyrically. And I really love a good lyric that will make you a little bit uncomfortable. Possibly, and then you'll love it immediately. Like, mm-hmm. That's right.
And Bo, just to take it back to you, is we've covered Farm Fest, we've covered college somewhat, and I don't know if there's any more, if we need to get any more into the weeds with those two, but maybe since that time, what did life look like since leaving Oxford and getting out of Philadelphia away from Daniel and getting back down to Florida to get it up, I guess, maybe to today, however you want to do that?
I got married in 2003, had a precious, wonderful child in 2004, Miss Emmalyn Grace Adams, who is a very talented young musician herself. She has a better lead into music than I did at her age. I mean, I was in college. I was probably 20 before I even picked up a bass, you know, and now...
Bass came first for you?
No. Oh. The guitar came first.
Okay.
I mean, I'm, you know, multi-instrumentalist now, but my daughter, who's 17, plays guitar. She also plays a little piano. She plays a little bass. She's got a violin that she never uses, but I think she could probably pick it up and figure something out with it, and she's a good writer. I mean, and she has promised me that we are going to play a gig together before she goes to college. She's 17 now. She's going to Boulder in the fall.
And, right on time.
So, we got about a month left until the date of that gig. which I think is July 27th. And I'm really excited about that. It's going to be really wonderful. But so back to my timeline. I was married 5 years and ended up divorcing and trying to put my life back together then. Flash forward, just working, playing music, trying to move around the Southeast to follow my ex-wife wherever.
Driving plays a big part in driving the local economy. It helps us all get where we're going and creates good jobs close to home. At Synovus Energy, our refineries in Toledo and Lima are a reliable domestic source of gasoline, diesel, and jet fuel. Plus, more than 2,300 employees and contractors work for us here in Ohio. See how we're helping local communities move forward at synovus.com.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
My child was and then playing music, and I really started gigging hard about 15 years ago, to a point now where I feel confident every time I go into a place, and I'm a full-time musician now, but I got married again about 5 years ago, and I did some stupid things, and combine that with COVID and a couple other factors, I am now divorced again and putting my life back together again. And it's tough. It's been tough, and like I said earlier, there's a lot of pain in my music right now. But I really feel like God has me on the right track, moving in the right direction, and doing the right things in my life now, and that feels really good. Music's good for me. I feel a slew of songs coming on after this weekend. Being around these writers tonight and tomorrow.
I think that's what's real special about what Daniel's put together for this weekend.
Yeah, it's going to be fantastic. I can't wait to really listen.
And we were supposed to meet over a year ago. You were scheduled to play at Porch Fest.
Porch Fest, that's right.
Yeah.
And I know you had some family things going on.
Yeah. Couldn't make it last time.
Just to bring it up to today, and this really opens it up for all of us, and we'll begin to walk it out of the door, is you drove up from a gig in Florida today.
Yeah, had a gig from 11 to 2 today.
And you moseyed on up here to Neshoba County.
Absolutely.
When's the last time you've been here?
It was right before New Year's, right after Christmas.
And so I think Daniel Sharp is an incredible human being when it comes to putting something like this weekend together. And so, Daniel, you've been doing this for some time. Maybe Ben can speak on it as well. It's just far as creating an event to just draw a whole lot of talent in one place at one time.
It all started on this flatbed trailer right after this goat cooking. It's called the goat cooking. And Ben and I and David Lauderdale played at it. And the morning after, and it was cold that night. And we had a tent. Yeah, I brought a big tent. We ended up playing real late and staying, but none of us had brought sleeping bags or pillows or any of this. But we had the tent, and it got cold, and the three of us slept in that tent.
Did you snuggle?
And I know.
I don't think we slept.
I don't think anybody slept too much because it was a little chilly, but it wasn't so much it would drive you away from there. But next morning, we're breaking down.
It was at
whatever.
It was at dawn.
It was at dawn. Yeah, we were ready to roll.
You and I were just sitting up talking because it was too cold
on
to sleep.
On the flatbed that we played on.
And watching the sunrise.
We had a conversation about...
How did y'all's relationship kick up, by the way? How the hell did y'all two meet?
Well, we started playing together. We already knew of each other. And you know, I might as well let the cat out of the bag. We are distant cousins, not like first cousins or nothing, but we have a family name. And for instance, some of Ben's kinfolk owned the land that connects to my uncle's land, which connects to my land. Mm-hmm. So back in the day,
I think we're fifth cousins.
Yeah, I believe that's somewhere around fifth cousins. But see, outside. Yeah, his brother and I already knew each other, you know, from many things. You know, Andy, his brother, is a percussionist and a fine one at that, a musician in general, and also a DJ, and he DJed a lot of parties and stuff. But Ben and I started playing music together probably around the time me and David started playing music together, wouldn't you say?
I think so. I think when we first got to talking about playing music together, you and David were playing a Christmas party or engagement party at my sister's house.
Oh, yeah. Oh,
and I remember walking in and hearing...
You sure that wasn't me and Jonathan?
It might have been.
It was me and Jonathan Parkinson.
Okay. But I remember walking in and hearing you sing Rocky Raccoon.
Mm-hmm.
And that's not a song that I hear covered very much.
Yeah, we were at J.D. Irish at that time, yeah. Jonathan and I.
I remember that place.
And, we were playing that Christmas party.
That's what it was.
Yeah. And
old fancy Christmas party.
That was fun. It was pretty fancy.
Yeah.
You know, it was quite fancy, but it was also not fancy. It was
right.
Just as everybody we know, you know what I mean? So it's fancy as that gets, but it was a nice party. I will say that. Yeah.
But I always, you know, parties like that sort of feel like an outsider. And so,
I think Chalmers was there,
but I, you know, when I walk in, I hear, hey, y'all playing Rocky Raccoon. Y'all took a break and I went straight over there and I felt like, and I'll
hold on a red card.
And I don't think you'll take offense to this. I was like, hey, let me go talk to this other weirdo.
I don't think Chalmers was there, so it's irrelevant to the story. We haven't even said who that is. But yes, we discussed playing, I think, that night. And we did immediately after that.
Mm-hmm.
And Ben started playing with David and I in All Around Hounds a whole lot of time. He was up in there. We got some awesome Echo Lounge recordings and some... photographs and lots of shows
that the world may never hear.
Yeah, and to use some of your language, like some great stories of which we'll never tell in public.
And as far as me, I mean, I don't remember the stories anyway. You'd have to cue me on that. But I had a really great ability to at the end of the night, when you know you make photos at the end of the night, you're done packed up, and everybody's getting photos and stuff. It's usually how that went. The Echo Lounge, I had this really good ability to make sure that I knew the photos were coming, you see. So I would make sure that I looked like the most sober and steady person in the whole photograph, because everybody else would be, you know, not looking like that, and they weren't thinking about it. So I can go back and look at all those Echo Lounge, and I'm just a rock. I'm just a stone-faced, posing rock of perfect, you know, conservative values. And all those pictures, you know, I purposely did that for the juxtaposition of the two. Everybody else is, like, making wild faces and stuff. But you always look at me, and I'm like one of those 1820s photographs when they make you stand perfectly still, you know?
Yeah.
So Chad can speak on that.
And I think we had the Hound, Daniel, and David had every Tuesday night at the Echo Lounge for roughly a year. So we get through playing around one, and then I just turn around.
Mississippi, it's Tuesday night.
Drive from Meridian back home, get up, go to work 8 o'clock next morning.
How'd that feel?
Not great. I was sober. I wasn't going to take a chance on getting a DUI.
Oh, yeah. Ben was on his perfect behavior. And that's why he looks a little, you know, in some of the photographs, you don't know, but Ben's having
a little better off than everybody else.
I was going to try to look better than Ben so it make everybody think that he was the one that was not acting right. Because, you know, MySpace would blow you up back then. We used to blow that stuff up on MySpace.
Tom was such a hero.
He was my friend. Was Tom your friend?
Oh, he was everybody's friend.
I thought he was.
And you're an asshole if you removed him.
Right.
Yeah.
Hey, he was one of my top friends.
Yeah, he was everybody's top friend. Yeah. But I want to bring it up to this weekend, and then I've got three questions for Bo, and then we'll walk it out the door.
All
right. Just around the horn, Daniel. Thank you so much for inviting me down for this weekend, and I'm so excited to be around all these singer-songwriters and to get to know a lot of your friends. What does this weekend mean to each of y'all?
Well, to me, it's just like something I've always done. And many months ago, I formulated this plan in my mind. I said to myself, how cool would it be to get some of my favorite and the best songwriters I know to show up at my fair cabin porch and record them live and give them the sets so they can do as they please with them. And, you know, I might play too. I haven't even decided yet, but I'll
be better.
Yeah, I'll play. I'm obviously going to play.
Right.
But, and then maybe months ago, I was like, I'll work this whole set of new material up. You know how that goes with me.
Oh, yeah.
But that's not to say, yes, I'm going to play. I mean, why would I miss that opportunity? And that fun. But I want to just do it. It's not complicated. I like to bring musicians and artists together, especially ones that don't know each other, do something really cool and create a moment in time, you know, get some mojo going, because that's what it's all about. Yeah, yesterday is gone and tomorrow is unwritten. And if you want to listen closely to what I'm about to say, all we have is the moment. Today is the day that we're living our lives. Yesterday's gone, tomorrow's unwritten. We've got this moment where I'm sitting here with four dear friends doing a cool podcast. You know, why do we do this tonight? Because it's cool, because it's fun, because we can.
It's how I wanted to open it.
Yeah, because we can. And that's what it's all about. And, you know, selfishly, later on, if I see any of this material or if we do anything cool with it, you know, maybe we make a video, maybe we don't, maybe we release an album, maybe we don't, I don't know. I like knowing that I somehow, in my own way, influenced the universe and the world. Like, without me standing over there at the studio early one morning as the sun broke, drinking coffee and thinking, okay, need a cool show like this. And then this getting everybody together and making it all, you know, organizing it all, it wouldn't exist. So by the time we get the recordings and have the good time tomorrow, I like knowing that, you know, I in some small way, I influenced life itself and the events of life with those ideas that would not have existed if I didn't make a motion and push something or pull something. So I'm just pushing and pulling reality.
Ben, what say you?
What I say is half of what Daniel says is just filling up air.
That is a popular opinion sometimes.
No, I think a weekend like this for me, I get to hang around interesting people and listen to great music and a lot of people that I already know. This weekend, or I feel a kinship there, and that I don't often feel. And
I mean, I do too. Right when you pulled up, dude, I was like, that's my buddy, you know.
Yeah,
and we've only met.
Gingers.
We are that. Yes. So we got three things in common. Yeah. But like, we got to make music together at your cabin a couple weeks ago, and then like we're both got red hair.
Yeah,
and
if we walk outside, right,
I'm the only raven-haired person here in this room.
If we walk outside right now, we might get moon burned.
Yeah.
You know, it's possible.
Who knows?
That's bring the moon block.
So, Bo, I mean, what's this weekend like for you?
This is dusting off the cobwebs, relearning some of my material, kind of rewriting some of it as I'm in the car today listening to it. I get to be around some musicians that I think are really good songwriters, and as Daniel said, it's a moment in time. You know, I mean, it's something that I always remember the one Porch Fest that I came to play, You know, and speaking
Farm Fest, Alan's got Porch Fest.
Yeah,
that's
bad.
Our Alan's got Porch Fest.
I got Farm Fest. That's
gonna let it slide.
Yeah.
No, it's okay. I mean, it's we discussed it for you know. Yeah. It's very similar, but yeah.
But yeah, the one Farm Fest I came for was so much fun, and camping out, you know, right outside here, and we've been talking about David Lauderdale, and there's a moment I want to mention with him. So it was early in the morning, and like, Dave didn't have any food, and he was hungry.
I was wondering what the story was, because I got plenty of Lauderdale stories from Farm Fest. I'm like, which one's he gonna tell?
This is a tame one.
Yeah, okay. This is a tame one. But it was a good moment. But anyway, I brought my camping grill, and I had was really ambitious. I had bacon and eggs and toast. I didn't have an extra fork. We ate it with his hands, but it was just a nice moment. We sat and visited, and something that I always remember. God rest his soul. Always really enjoyed him.
And I'll say something about Lauderdale and you and me, and we missed the point in there. We all had a band together called the Gray Papes.
We mentioned this earlier. Ben mentioned it.
Oh, good. Okay, yeah. And Bo had those shows recorded at the Two Stick, and I have I think I have them. He's got them.
You have a I don't have them anymore. Well, I mean, I've got two songs, I think, from that.
I believe I have one show on my computer and one show in my super secret vault, but the one show on my computer is you and I in Lauderdale.
Yeah.
And I had a
so
he burned me a disc great,
and we play there. Oh, yeah. Was JT Lack, throw his name in there, he played with us. Now, yeah, JT Lack is he's the man. Let's see. We had some good shows. Like
Jamie Posey played one with us.
He sure did. Of Rocket 88.
Rocket 88.
Yeah. So those and there are unique songs on those live shows. It was like board recordings, basically, but they're really groovy. So Bo and David played together, and I also played. But I love having all of my friends from those. Those handful of shows, which, by the way, have awesome posters made, I still have those posters. You know,
I still have them too. They're really good posters.
And Scott Barrett. And I did a podcast a couple of weeks ago, and we discussed Ann Scott, and extremely great artist, told some good stories. But those posters, you know, go link up with my old Jeremiah Free posters and. You know, some other posters, but moving forward, before we get out of here, Bo and I, he used to come and we'd write songs over in the studio, and one of my favorite songs of mine that I've ever written is a song Bo and I wrote together over at the studio. And,
please do.
And we should do that collab while
please
we're
do.
Here.
Please do.
And I think Ben should play too.
Let me ask my three questions to you, Bo, and then we'll do just that.
Go.
Is number one, what was your favorite part about this interview?
My favorite part about this interview was remembering some stuff. You know, jogging the memory and thinking about college and, you know, how Daniel and I started our friendship and meeting Ben and you know, flashing forward, I'm a big fan of nostalgia, and there was a good piece of that tonight.
Right on.
Yeah.
Number two, for those listening, how do they connect with you on social media, and where can they find some of your music?
I am unfortunately really bad at that.
Ha, me too.
I have a Facebook.
He's a legend of it.
Right.
I mean, if you look up Bo Adams in Inlet Beach, Florida, right now my profile picture—I'll keep it. I'm gonna keep it up for a long time, but it's an illegal picture that I got in William Faulkner's writing room at Roanoke. It's me and the guitar, and it looks like it's nighttime, but it's not. It's daytime. If you look up Bo Adams in Inlet Beach, Florida, and you click on sort of a dark picture, and you see William Faulkner's writing room where he, you know, wrote his outline on the wall. That's me. You can further from there go like Bo Adams Music on Facebook. Here before I move to Memphis, I'm in November. I'm on business up on website and all the you know, all the things, you know. Try and get somebody to help me with that. There's a good friend of mine, Jamie Franz, who likes to kick me in the ass sometimes about not doing as much as I can, leveraging my contacts and putting myself out there. I just work so daggum much. But yeah, so that's the answer to that question. Bo Adams, Inlet Beach, Florida, and look for the picture of me playing a Gibson Hummingbird in William Faulkner's writing room.
Last question. Walking it out the door, we got Ben Hardy in position.
There's something ominous about that statement.
What song are we about to hear?
Oh, you want to tell it?
Yeah, we're about to hear a song, Dublin, that Daniel and I wrote together. He sings it and I sing back up. But we wrote it about 20 yards away over in what's now the studio that used to be Daniel's house, which actually, that's a funny story real quick. Daniel was going to sleep at his parents' house, and he told me about this recording that he got, this blank recording where some sort of spirit said...
An EVP. Electronic voice phenomena. I used to be into that.
Yeah.
And I could get them. I could catch them. I can catch an EVP quicker than you can catch a snipe.
Yeah, so he said,
that's pretty good. You ever been snipe hunting?
Right?
I took a yuppie snipe hunt.
Oh, outstanding.
Yeah, get a grocery bag and come out here with me. Grocery bag. I love life.
But yeah, so apparently this EVP, you know, voice whispered, go ahead, do it. And he was like, all right, there's a .22 on top of the fridge. If you feel like you need to fire off a few rounds into the night, go ahead. Yeah. Have a good night.
I like to tell my guests where to get a hold of some cold, hard steel. you never know. I'll tell. Anyway. So we did sessions, and we did many songs. And one of the songs we wrote is called Dublin. And... maybe we should just play Dublin. And Ben has played Dublin a lot with us too, so he already knows this song. With the Echo, me and David used to play Dublin quite a bit. Driving through Dublin, on my way through the Mississippi Delta, on a lonesome stretch of highway, I felt a little bit lost. Well, I saw an old man on the side of the road, and I pulled on over and he sat down the floor. He said, son, what's your name? Don't worry about my dog, well, he's halfway tame. Well, I've lived here just about all my life, in that farmhouse over yonder. Said, I raised three kids and my wife. Say you wanna know just where this road goes. Well, to tell you the truth, son, I really don't know. Said it took my tractor when a crop failed in 72. It brought the FSA man and he took a quarter section too. Whiskey on her breath. When this old road gets beneath you, well, you never know where it just might lead you. So keep it between the lines and be sure you read all the signs. And don't stop for the devil if he's hitching a ride. Yeah, just put on the gas and tell an old devil he can kiss your ass. Look out for the curbs and ditches. Lord, keep your eyes on them sons of bitches. This road will take you as far as you can drive or walk or ride. This old road might take you to the other side.
1952, and I wasn't quite the same when I finally come back through. And it took my son to the Quantrang Valley in 1966, and from the things he saw, well, that boy just couldn't be fixed. And it took Granddaddy to Jackson in 44 and brought him back home after they won the war. It'd be good for a little till cotton, them old times his pretty much forgot. It's a old road. Never know where it just might lead, so keep it between lines and be sure you read all the signs. And don't stop for the devil if he's hitching a ride. Yeah, just put on the gas and tell the devil he can kiss your ass. Look out for the curves and ditches, Lord, keep your eyes on them sons and bitches. It's road to take you as far as you can drive, walk or ride. So the road might take you to the other side. Cause I said it took Granddaddy to Paris in 44, and it brought him back home after they won the war. It used to be good for a load or two of cotton, them old times did pretty much forgot. And it said it took Uncle Chester to Kathmandu, and the stories it's always told to be true about Betty and a wooden canoe. So I didn't see Betty, but I saw the tattoo. This old road gets beneath you, and you never know where it just might lead you. So keep it between the lines, and be sure you read all the signs. Don't stop for the devil if he's hitching a ride. Yeah, just put on the gas and tell the old devil he can kiss your ass. Look out for the curves and ditches, Lord, keep your eyes on them sons of bitches. This road will take you as far as you can drive or walk or ride. This old road might take you to the other side. Veteran of World War One, and he thought that something ought to be done. The folks whose clothes were homespun, and there was too much fun when the money was gone. This old road gets beneath you, and you never know where it just might lead you. So keep it between the lines, and be sure you read all the signs. And don't stop for the devil if he's hitching a ride. Yeah, just put on the gas. Tell an old devil he can kiss your ass. Look out for the curves and ditches, Lord, keep your eyes on them sons of bitches. This road take you as far as you can drive or walk or ride. This old road might take you to the other side. Iraq. Well, son, I just pray to God that this road will bring you on back. Cause this old road gets beneath you, and you never know where it just might lead you. So keep it between the lines, and be sure you read all the signs. And don't stop for the devil if he's hitching a ride. Yeah, just put on the gas and tell the old devil he can kiss your ass. Look out for the curves and ditches, Lord, keep your eyes on them sons of bitches. This road will take you as far as you can drive or walk or ride. This old road might take you to the other side. just might lead you, so keep it between the lines. And be sure you read all the signs, and don't stop for the devil if he's hitching a ride. Yeah, just put on the gas and tell that old devil he can kiss your ass. Look out for the curbs and ditches, Lord, and keep your eyes on them sons of bitches. This road will take you as far as you can drive or walk or ride. This old road might take you to the other side. I said this old road might take you to the other side.
There it That's is. That's our song by Bo Adams and Daniel Sharp, and it's called Dublin.
Does it get any better than that? This has been Forced Talk. We're out of here. Thank you so much, boys.
This is the story of the one. As a maintenance engineer, he hears things differently. To the untrained ear, everything on his shop floor might sound fine, but he can hear gears grinding or a belt slipping. So he steps in to fix the problem at hand before it gets out of hand. And he knows Granger's got the right product he needs to get the job done, which is music to his ears. Call, click Granger.com, or just stop by. Granger, for the ones who get it done.